morning sermon is part of the series Christ versus the Powers of Evil, delivered by Dr. David Palmer in the spring of 2016. Here's Dr. Palmer.
Last Sunday, we considered the whole idea that there are dark spiritual powers at work in the world. We looked at a key biblical text in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, where he sums up our situation by saying, "Our struggle is not against enemies of flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." We noted that this description of cosmic powers of this present darkness and spiritual forces of evil well describes what we are experiencing right now in radical Islamist terrorism, where we are dealing with not just a few bad individuals, but with a force of spiritual evil that is sweeping our world. We also know that people throughout the centuries have conceived of these dark powers in various ways. In the first century, people generally thought of the dark powers as evil spirits, personal spiritual entities that are at work for ill. In the last century, theologians have more typically seen the dark powers as impersonal forces of evil that arise out of collective human sinfulness. Prime examples have been the Nazi movement in Germany, or totalitarian communist movements in places such as Cambodia, or the radical Islamist movement today. In each case, the hatred, the rage, the desire for power and glory by a whole group of people brings forth an overarching power of evil that captivates yet more people and leads finally to mass destruction. But whether you conceive of the dark powers as personal entities or as impersonal forces, the bottom line is the same. They are real. There are forces of evil at work in our world. And as Christians, we need to know how to withstand those forces and how finally to triumph over them. Let's begin with a moment of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In the gospel stories, Jesus appears repeatedly as healer, and there are two main types of healing stories. Jesus performs amazing physical healings as he heals people who are blind, lame, even lepers, and Jesus performs spiritual healings as he casts out demons, or the gospels will also call them unclean spirits. We heard three of those stories in our gospel readings this morning. Often today, people do not quite know what to make of these gospel stories where Jesus casts out demons. And so what people very often do is just ignore them. But the gospels are full of stories about Jesus against the demons. For in fact, these stories are telling us something of central importance. The stories proclaim that Jesus has the power to deliver us from forces of evil that would tear at our world and tear at our soul. Our problem with the stories, of course, is that they are expressed in first century language and thought forms. For most of us, our only encounter with demons is in weird, scary movies like The Exorcist, now a classic, or similar movies since. Or we see the supposed casting out of demons by questionable religious actors such as Ernest Angley. How are we really supposed to be thinking about demons and the whole idea of casting out of demons today? A key to that question is given by the Apostle Paul in the passage we heard from 2 Corinthians. Paul was talking about how God has revealed God's truth to human beings. And he said, "It is the God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' who has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be clear that the extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. In other words, God, throughout the biblical story, proclaims the light of God's truth. And that light, that truth, is received and held in clay jars, namely in human beings who are fragile and imperfect and impermanent. The clay jar will crumble, but the light of God's truth continues. When it comes, therefore, to biblical writings, the writers of the Gospels receive the truth of Jesus, and they then tell that truth. They tell the story using their language, in this case Greek, and their thought forms. The first century language and the first century thought forms are the clay vessels, the imperfect, transient vessels that receive the eternal truths of Jesus. The language fades away. Nobody talks Koine Greek, the international language of the first century, anymore. And the thought forms fade away. People don't think the way people used to in the first century, as those thought forms have faded away. But the light and the truth of Jesus abides. So when reading the Bible, we do not need to carry forward the ancient language. You don't have to speak ancient Greek today, although scholars will use ancient Greek to help us understand the meaning of some scripture passages. And especially, we do not have to carry forward the thought forms of the first century. In the first century, people thought of any kind of mental or emotional malady, or even some physical illnesses, as demon possession. If you were schizophrenic, you were considered to be demon possessed. If you had epilepsy, like the boy in the one gospel story, you were considered to be demon possessed, because when you have an epileptic seizure, it sure looks like some demon has taken control of your body. If you had an anxiety disorder, you were considered to be demon possessed. Demon possession was the way that first century people described any sort of malady that affected the mind. The healing of the malady was thus described as the casting out of the demon. The whole first century concept of demon possession was thus the clay jar, the transient, imperfect human thought form that received the light of God's truth. The clay jar crumbles. We no longer think in terms of demon possession. We have left those ideas in the past, and we can readily leave that kind of thinking in the past. What we need to carry forward is the eternal truth of God that was proclaimed within these stories about the casting out of demons. At the heart of all the stories about demon possession is an abiding spiritual reality. There are negative spiritual forces that regularly afflict the human mind and soul. There are fears and anxieties that gnaw at us. There are sorrows and feelings of guilt that weigh on us. There are temptations that pull at us. There are doubts that cloud our vision. Whatever you think about demons, if you are afflicted with persistent fears or regrets or temptations or doubts, it feels as though there's a demon inside you firing arrows continuously at your heart. Whenever you have a physical illness, there are a variety of medications and treatments that can be used for healing. Even so, the journey to healing can often be a long process. If you have a malady of the mind, an ailment of the soul, finding healing can be yet more difficult. And this is a recurring element in all the gospel stories about people who are described as demon-possessed. They feel themselves to be in the grip of an evil force, and they cannot free themselves from it. In each case, the gospels say, Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the person. Or Jesus simply says, come out of him, you unclean spirit. Jesus speaks to his audience in the language of his day. He uses the idioms and the thought forms of his audience. They think and describe their ailment in terms of demon possession, so he talks to them and heals them in those terms. He commands the demon to come out. What astonishes the crowd is that these people are healed, that Jesus has power over these demonic forces. As is reported in the Gospel of John, they were all amazed, saying, "What is this? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey." The message is clear, and it completely transcends the idioms or the thought forms of any age. The message is that Christ can free us from any negative spiritual force that has a grip on our soul. Today, we don't generally think in terms of demon possession, but still, we can have a very analogous experience whenever something negative has a hold on your mind. It may be a worry or a regret that you just cannot shake. It may be a feeling of anger or bitterness or resentment you just can't get past. Maybe some fixation that just keeps dominating your thinking. It is a common experience in life that people may find themselves in the grip of some very negative feeling or attitude or mindset, and they cannot seem to free themselves from it. We are clay vessels. We are imperfect and fraught with weakness, but the extraordinary power belongs to God. And that power can be at work in us through Jesus Christ. Christ casts out the demons today. Christ can free us from all the negative stuff that has a grip on our mind and soul, from all that would weigh us down. In the story about the man who lived among the tombs, it is said after the healing that the man was now in his right mind. This is what Christ does. Christ brings us to our right mind. Christ brings us to a wholeness of spirit so that we can have the right perspective and the right outlook on life, and so that we can finally live in good and positive ways. All this has implications as well for the larger demonic powers that afflict our world as a whole. Last week, we talked about the demonic spirit that we are seeing in radical Islamism today. If there was ever an example of people who are not in their right mind, it is terrorists who are completely in the grip of a spirit of rage and hatred and who are totally fixated on a very warped vision of glory. In the gospel stories, one of the common characteristics of chronically demon-possessed people was that they were violent and scary, like the man living among the tombs. But Jesus is not intimidated. The power of Christ far transcends any negative force in the world. So we can have confidence today that no matter how frightful the demonic powers may appear in our world at large, the power of Christ will ultimately triumph over every evil. But there's another factor in the equation which affects how readily the power of Christ can take hold in particular human lives. In the story about the demoniac among the tombs, you would think that when Jesus healed the man, the townspeople would have rejoiced, both because there was no longer a wild man in the cemetery and because this poor man had now been healed. But at the end of the story, they were not happy and asked Jesus to leave the neighborhood. Why? It all had to do with the pigs. In the process of Jesus healing the man, a large herd of pigs went tumbling over a cliff and drowned in the sea. You can see the place where this happened to this day. Along the northeastern shore of the Sea of Galilee, there are steep, high slopes that run right down to the lake. Modern commentators suggest that in all the commotion of the demoniac encountering Jesus, the herd was spooked and bolted and went over the edge. The interpretation given in the gospel accounts, of course, is in the language and thinking of that day, with the idea that evil spirits came out of the man and went into the pigs. But the townspeople were not worried about theological interpretations of this event. For them, there was one bottom line. They owned the pigs, and they were not at all pleased that they had just suffered a major financial loss. So, the Savior of the world was among them, indeed marvelously among them, for they were Gentiles. They owned pigs. But they sent him away because they were worried about their bank accounts. It is our human sinfulness that hampers us from fully experiencing the power of Christ. This is true on a personal level. We cannot experience the saving power of Christ if we just persist in self-centered values and self-centered goals and push Jesus away. And is also true on a global scale. When Islamist terrorists strike, one reaction seen in many places in the West is for people to hate all Muslims. But we cannot experience the saving action of Christ if we persist in fear and hate. The answer on every level is to open ourselves to the presence and power of Christ. The good news is that though we are sinners, Christ comes to us with forgiveness. As we turn to Christ in faith, Christ restores us into harmony with God, and Christ works then within us with transforming power so that we can be lifted up and enabled to truly live as God's people. We overcome the powers of evil as we share in the grace and love of Christ. For then, Christ can cast out the demons from our own lives, and we can be a part of how Christ is at work to cast out the demons from our world. Let us pray. O Lord, sometimes the stories in the scriptures sound strange to our ears, but your truth is shining through it all. We continue, O Lord, to wrestle with the powers of evil today. We continue to be weighed down by negative and dark forces in our own lives and the world at large. But, O Lord, lift our vision to see how you are at work today. Give us that confidence, O Lord, that your goodness will triumph over every evil. And help us to see how you are reaching to be at work in our own lives right now. Inspire us, O Lord, to open our hearts to you, that your Spirit can flow in us, working with renewal, lifting us up, filling us, Lord, with your light, empowering us to truly share in fellowship with you, and to be enabled then, Lord, to walk as your people and to be a part of your outreach into our whole world. Oh, Lord, we see so much trouble around us. We pray that you would enable us to be instruments of your light, that we might be a part of how your goodness will triumph in our own time. We do reach out to people who are in times of need in our own fellowship, and we pray for people in our church who are in times of illness. We give thanks for our church family, that we can support each other and that we can grow together. We lift up this week our fellow United Methodists at the Green Valley United Methodist Church, and pray that it would lead us, Lord, as together we would seek to be a part of your mission today. Oh Lord, as we look into our world, it continues to be a world full of so much trouble. But as we look to you, O Lord, we find hope. Inspire us that your Spirit may truly flow in our lives, and that by the empowerment of your Spirit, we can be a part of how your grace continues to touch and transform lives around the world today. Lead us, O Lord, as we lift to you our faith and our praise. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray.
Listening to this edition of the United Methodist Church of Kent Sermon Podcast. For more information about the church and to read Dr. Palmer's notes from the pastor blog with more about today's topic, visit www.kentmethodist.org.